Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.
We love you, Lord.
And we give you praise and glory. Indeed, Lord, my soul says yes. I want to be willing, Lord, help thou my unwillingness. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let the entrance of your word shine the light into our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord. Give grace. Give understanding to your people on here this morning, Lord, to every one of us. Let your name be glorified. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning. Good afternoon. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. It's another beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Powerful, powerful sessions yesterday also. Praise the Lord. Today, we want to talk about thy people, the Lord's people, being willing in the day of God's power. Praise the Lord. I remember that October 1st, 2022, when we started this daily room, this was one of the scriptures. There were two scriptures then the Lord gave to kick things off. The one scripture in Leviticus. I'm going to just read those scriptures as a reminder. And we're going to use one of them today. You know, in the book of Leviticus chapter 6, this was one of the scriptures that the Lord gave us to start, to kick this room and to kick these things off in this room. And he said, look, he said, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never be put out. So let's read it. Now, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 11. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Hallelujah. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall not never go out. So that was one scripture that the Lord gave to inspire this room. The other one was Psalm 110 and verse 3. And we're going to take today's text, the title of the message comes from that one verse. You know, Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. So we see that it is important every morning come on out here, renew our youth also. As the morning is pregnant, we're told that the morning has a womb. You know, so womb depicts pregnancy. It's pregnant of something. You know, pregnancy precedes life, generally speaking. So, the morning precedes the rest of the day. And so every morning we come out here, we order our steps aright. You know, and make sure that the womb of the morning brings forth good tidings and so forth throughout the day. So, but today's lesson is on being willing in the day of God's power. Being willing in the day of God's power. What does that mean? Well, yesterday's message was about worship, which is more like consecration, really. You know, it's a way of life. It's more than just, you know, a moment here and a moment there. It's a way of life. It's a way that we ought to live, because that's what Jesus said. He said, the Father seeketh such to, you know, worship him. Those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, so this is the hour, Jesus said, that the true worshipers of God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because the Father, he said, seeketh such to worship him. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, if that's what God's looking for, then that's what we need to be seeking after as well. And the Lord has promised for the thirsty soul, for the one that's seeking after, he's promised a lot of things. Let's go through some of these things this morning, to hopefully stir up a new hunger and a new thirst in our heart. But first, we must understand the season that we are in, because it talks about the day of God's power. Well, really, if you look at it, every day is the day of God's power, because he is always just the same. The same, Hebrews 13 and 8 say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way he is today is the way he was yesterday, and it's the way he will be hereafter. He doesn't change. Hallelujah. You know, so for God, really, every day is his power. But in our realm, the way the Holy Spirit walks, you know, God gives us seasons. In fact, he said, you know, even physical seasons, but prophetically, we see that that's the same way too. In Genesis 1 and 14, said from the beginning, you know, he said, look, let there be, you know, these two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and so forth. And he said, let the lights be in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years. So physically, that's the case. Spiritually, there are also seasons. Now, at any time, that anyone that has real faith can transcend even beyond the seasons. It doesn't matter whether it's quite the season, you have the faith, you can transcend beyond that. We've seen a few stories. And just to remind us that, you know, God is not bound to seasons, but he has used the seasons throughout the Holy Scriptures. We see visiting his people at different times and different seasons and giving them an opportunity to have some expectation, you know. So, but whether it's the season or it's not the season, whether it's even time dispensationally or not, we've seen people that had tremendous faith that could pierce even the veil of time. But more so, what about if it is time? You know, so let's consider if it is time. There are some people that did things which were not meant for their time. You know, the story of the Syrophoenician woman, which we have spoken about in this room multiple times, of which Jesus said, look, I cannot take children's bread and give it to dogs, and I am not come to, you know, except for the house of Israel. You can read that story in Matthew 15. at least one of the places where it is in the scriptures. You know, but this woman would not be denied. And she pierced the veil of time. Even though Jesus said, it's not time. I came now, right now, for the house of Israel. You know, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he said. In Matthew 15 and 24. But she came and worshipped him. That goes also with the worship thing that we were talking about yesterday. That's one way that you can, just approach the Lord and melt his heart, if you will. You know, and say, look, she just came out, worshipped him, you know, and said, Lord, help me. Worshipped him. She probably bowed down. Maybe she went on her knees, you know, and so forth, you know, and those things just touched the heart of the Lord. But the Lord, you know, would bring out one more lesson. He said, look, I hear you, but really, I can't take what belongs to the children and give it to dogs. And this woman, you know, she listened to that statement, but she found, what I might call a loophole in there. I said, well, yeah, you know, but the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And the Lord said, my goodness. Wow. And so what wasn't yet time for her to attain, she actually obtained because of tremendous faith and not, you know, giving up and not letting up. Well, you know, there are other people that have taken things that don't belong, you know, to them. They have gone, I mean, beyond the threshold, so to speak. I mean, David was one such person that Jesus even testified about. You know, there's a lesson in Mark chapter 2 when they accused Jesus and his disciples of doing that which was not right on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, have you not read that which David did? You know, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest and did take the showbread and eat, which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priests only, and also gave to them that were with him. And if you have, you know, heard what the Lord had said, that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And if you only knew what that meant, Jesus began to tell them. So we've seen that people have been able to pierce either the veil of time, or even these, you know, seasonal things, you know. And, you know, the people of the Lord, you know, especially Pentecostal circles, we talk a lot about season. It's your season of breakthrough. It's your season of this. It's your season of that. You know, and it's all of that is just used to psych the people up. It's always season for God. God doesn't go out of season. We are the ones that go out of season. You can come at any time, whether it's the season or not the season. We see another story on the flip side of this in Mark chapter 11. Just to let you know that Jesus, the Lord, is not confined to seasons. He come across this fig tree that was not producing. But the Bible says that the time of figs was not yet. Well, you might call it was not yet the season. But Jesus, when he come upon that tree, looked for the fruit and didn't find it, even though it was not the season, you know, he wasn't happy with the tree. And you know what followed after. So, well, since I came and I found no fruit on you, that's it. You're done. You will not be producing fruit for anybody anymore. And so the tree presently withered away. And if the tree wasn't there to do the one thing that the master wanted, then it was no good. But the underscoring story here was that it was not yet the time for figs. Yeah, Jesus ignored that factor. You know, so for a person that is connected, if you are rightly connected, you know, with the Holy Spirit, it'll always be your season. I want to lay that, you know, first background as we talk about this, the day of God's power. But that being said, there is still cycles that God, ordains. If you are rightly connected with the Lord, this is how you will be. In Psalm 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, leaves generally wither out of season. You know, if you have the, during the fall here in the United States, we have four seasons. You know, during the fall, the leaves begin to wither and fall away. The trees begin to dry up. By winter, they are dead. Another cycle of spring comes along and so forth. You know, so the leaves generally wither in the off season, you know, but this man, this tree that's planted by rivers of water, it's always a season for him. He's always in season. His leaf will not ever wither because he never goes out of season. You know, so I wanted to lay that background up. We can always be in season with the Lord. How be it? There are seasons that God appoints because of the people. Because we ourselves are, you know, up and down, yo-yo kind of thing. You know, but God doesn't do that yo-yo. It's all the same. It's always just the same. But for our sakes, you know, he would give us seasons and times of visitations and different things. But we got to take advantage of it. Now, you can take advantage of God's power anytime, but more so in the day that God has promised it. You know, for instance, you know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was quoting the prophecy of Joel. He said, it is written, and in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, are we in the last days? You know, so let's take advantage of the things that God has promised for the times that we are in. We just so happen to be in the last days. I mean, if Peter thinks that he was, I mean, Peter thought he was in the last days, that's 2,000 years ago, more than that. And what about us? You know, so we see that that promise definitely applies to this time. And even generally speaking, anytime people got a hold of, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they began to get a hold of the Lord, you know, God will visit them tremendously. We've seen that many, many times. You know, so in the book of John chapter 5, there was a story. Now we're talking now about seasons of God's visitation. And there you must be ready. I'm going to be willing in the day of his power. It means the day when God shows his hand. That's right. The hand of his power. You know, so God appointed certain times for those people back then. Out of the mercies of God. You know, an angel went down at a certain season. Now, we don't know what time of year it was, but it was a certain season. And when the angel went down that certain season, stirred the pool, you know, it said here, John chapter 5 and verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole. Or whatsoever disease he had. Now, that was a certain season. that the Lord allowed that to happen. Also, in the book of Luke chapter 5, looking at some of these certain seasons that God allowed things to happen. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. Well, there was a certain day. And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal on that certain day. Now, why did this writer make, you know, a point of saying the power of the Lord was present to heal? Power of the Lord is always present to heal wherever Jesus is. You know, I mean, Luke is the same one that wrote this account of the Acts of the Apostles. And he wrote and said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He wrote that already. Wherever Jesus went, the power of God was there. So why was it necessary for him to make a point out of this one, in this particular case, that the power of the Lord was present to heal? Power of the Lord was always present to heal if the Lord was there. Well, the point he was making was that it was a certain season. It was a certain visitation. Now, there are visitations and certain times, you know, that we need to consider. And when we know the right times, then what do we need to do? In the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we see that this scripture is also talking about times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that's what we want to talk about today. There are these times. It's called the day of God's power. It's called the times of refreshing. It's also called the hour of visitation. I call it all these things in the scriptures. But when it's there, when you are in that moment, then take advantage of it. How do we take advantage of it? Well, we need to be willing. We need to say yes to the Lord and be willing, you know, for what he wants to do. You know, now, once you understand that we are in the season, remember I said, you know, with God, there is really no season. You can get it anytime. But that being said, there are still seasons that God appoints, you know, for our sakes. And if people can get advantage of it, you know, you can stir up your faith because of that and believe God and, you know, do something, you know, during that season. The children of Issachar are told in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that they were men that had understanding of the times. You know, they knew the seasons, they knew the times, they knew the various, you know, seasons and so forth. They understood the times. They had understanding. And because they understood the times, they knew what Israel ought to do. That's what the Bible says. So they had understanding of the times to understand and to know what Israel ought to do. Now, because of all of that, they had an advantage over their brethren. Now, when you have an understanding of the times and the day of God's power, you need to know what you need to do. What we need to do is to be willing. The Lord is just looking for that person that will say, yes. As it was, you know, we saw this encounter that Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6. It was the day of God's visitation for him because he said, look, in the day that King Uriah died, in the year that he died, I saw the Lord, high and lifted up and so forth. He strained filled the temple. He went into the, house of the Lord and had this experience. And then, through all of that experience, at the end of the day, there was a question posed out, and the voice of the Lord came out in verse 8 and said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Well, there was a certain visitation. He was visited. The coals of fire from the altar were used to touch his lips and brand his lips. And his iniquity was taken away. His sin was purged. But then the Lord put a demand out there. Well, who is going to go for us? Whom shall I send? And of course, glory to God, Isaiah stepped up and said, yes, here I am, send me. Now let's look at some of the things that God would do during the day of his power. The way that God works. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren. The way when God wants to do something and visit his people, it all starts with God. God is the one that appoints the seasons. He appoints the times of refreshing. So that it's not because we prayed. No. It's because God said it is time. And then he puts in the hearts of people to begin to pray. Daniel understood by the books, read the things that Jeremiah had written, that there will be 70 years appointed to the desolations of Israel and so forth, carried away and all of that. And as that time began to draw near, the time was drawing near. The time was fixed. It was already spoken. And then, as that time began to draw near, God began to put it in the heart of Daniel to seek the Lord. So everything starts with an unction from God. He sets the time, and he gives understanding to some, like the children of Issachar, to understand the times. And then they began to know what they need to do. What do we need to do? Well, Daniel knew that what he needed to do now is begin to pray. I've got to begin to pray for what God promised in this season. See, because now he knows that the time is coming. Well, you say, well, God already said the time is coming. Why do you need to pray then? Just relax. It'll come. No, it doesn't work like that. We're taught throughout the scriptures, more so that when we see and understand what the Lord is doing, that's the time that you ought to pray even more so for it. So because Daniel understood that God was about to finish the captivity and, of the Jews, because he understood that, well, he said then that he began to give himself to prayer. Hallelujah. Now, that's the same way it works. Elijah, because he understood that God said, it's time. I'm going to bring back the rain. Go and show yourself to Ahab today. There's going to come a downpour. Well, he understood that in the spirit. God said, it is time. And then God put it in his heart to begin to pray. He sent Ahab away to go and eat and drink, but he himself did not go and eat and drink. He went up to pray. You might say, well, God already said it's coming. In fact, he already saw it. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Then what do you need to pray for? Well, that's how it works. Just because God promised something doesn't mean we should fold our arms and just say, well, let it be. No, we pray it through. We need to understand. Once you know the times, then you need to understand what you need to do, what men ought to do, what Israel ought to do. once you understand the time. Now, many people don't understand the time, unfortunately. The times that we're in, the time of crisis in the world, we have the word of prophecy that tells us in the midst of this crisis, at the same time that we see all of this trouble, then at the same time, revivals of unprecedented proportions will break out at the same time, side by side with, you know, unparalleled crisis in the world, at the same time, unparalleled revival. So we are seeing the crisis. If we are not seeing the revival, then we ought to pray. You know, so we need to know, understand what to do in the day of his power. You know, so that's today's lesson, really. That's where we're going with it. But I have, you know, some scriptures to share, you know. So the God always wants us, you know, to understand the times. If we don't understand the times, then we will be like, you know, just passengers that are just going and they don't understand anything. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8 and verse 7, he said, look, the stalk in heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow, they observe the time of their coming. I mean, in nature, people know their time. They know when to migrate from one place to another. You just watch these things on National Geographic or the Earth or this series that they do. And it's just amazing, you know, how they put it together and show it on TV. And you see all these animals. Nobody puts a clock in front of them, but there is a clock in their system. They understand the times. And when it's time, they begin to do things accordingly. And you say, well, you know, all these things in nature understand their own time. And they observe the time when it's time to migrate, when it's time to hibernate, when it's time to do this and that. They know it. But my people, they don't know the timing of the Lord. Well, we need to know that timing of the Lord. Now, during the time that God said it's a time of refreshing, such as now, then we need to begin to generate a hunger in our hearts. And if you are not, you know, really willing, then we need to pray to that God will make us willing. There was a story of a man in Mark chapter 9. Jesus was telling him, he said, look, because he was asking the Lord for something. And the Lord said to him, well, you know, all things are possible to him that believes. Basically, do you believe? And the man said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. You know, so, Lord, I believe. You know, he opened his mouth and said he believed, but he knows, you know, he was honest with himself that, look, there may still be areas where I may still be doubting a bit. And he cried out to the Lord to help him in those areas. Well, here's what we need to do today too, as well. Lord, I am willing. Help thou my unwillingness. You know, many times, you know, we are mostly unwilling. You know, but you have to declare with your mouth that you are willing. Isaiah said, here am I. You know, and once you say, here am I, once you say yes, then the Lord will help you. A few weeks ago, the Lord told us, you know, when you are ready, I will help you. All you have to do is say yes, and I will help you. And so, if you say yes, then all of a sudden, you've given God permission. According to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we're told that, you know, it is God that worketh in us, even both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The very willingness comes from God. You know, because sometimes it's not even in our heart. The spirit might be willing, but the flesh is weak. But even for the willingness to even be in the spirit, it all comes from God. The very, to even be willing, let alone do, it all comes from the Lord. But the Lord will help us. Now there's a hunger and thirsting that must happen, you know, in the day of God's power. when we begin to hunger and thirst for it, that's when we will be filled. Here's what must happen in the day of God's power. And this is what we must pray for. If you find that you're not, you have no sensitivity, you have no feeling, you're not being moved, then we need to pray that the Lord will help us. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5, says, as your heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, can you say this of yourself? This is how we must be in the day of God's power. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. So when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. And they continually say, where is your God? And so on. And I said, look, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I'd gone with the multitude, them that, kept holy day and so forth. And then this man, he began to reach out to the Lord. He said, look, my soul panteth after thee. And there is a yearning and there's a panting that we must have. We must have this. Jesus said, look, in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There must be a hunger and a thirsting after the things of God, especially in the day of his power, when God begins to reveal it. Let's read Psalm 63. In the book of Psalm 63, we see another passionate expression of how, to yearn after the things of God, especially when we know that God is doing it. We're in the times of refreshing. We're in that season. Well, if we're in that season, then we need to get a hold of the Lord and begin to pray even more, and say, Lord, remember me in thy season. Hallelujah. Say, oh God, thou art my God. Psalm 63. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Remember, he said, those are hunger and thirst. What would they do? Well, they will be filled. What is this man thirsting after? To see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen it in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name, and my soul shall be satisfied. Didn't Jesus say that you'll be satisfied when you hunger and thirst? Absolutely. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Well, we need this kind of hungering and thirsting, after the Lord. He said, look, when I remember you even upon my bed, meditate upon you in my night watches, because that has been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Right hand upholdeth me. This is a man that knows how to seek the Lord. When it is time, such as the time that we're in now, times of refreshing where we're in, we need to be willing in the day of his power. Let's read Psalm 84 and see all the things. And it's part of the reason why the Lord said this was a man after my heart. Psalm 84 verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, my soul even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He couldn't wait to get back in the presence of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. this is a man that is always wanting more of God. Praise the Lord. And he said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Verse 4, they will be still praising thee. Thank you, Jesus. Now, these are some of the things that we must put our mind toward in the day of God's power. Psalm 119. The Lord also revealing to us through the way that this man seeks after the Lord, seeks after the word of God, seeks after the things of God. He says here in verse 81, you know, Psalm 119 and verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word. You know, he's looking for the word. If he doesn't get the word, I mean, he's going to go crying. I need the word of God. I need something. I need God. You know, I must hear from you, O Lord. If I don't hear from you, what will I do? We need to hear from you. I want to hear from the Lord. He said, Lord. And he said, well, who's going to comfort me? I need to hear from the Lord. You know, and then he goes on and says, you know, that look, when I do indeed find that word, when I do indeed hear it from the mouth of the Lord, it is to me as if I had found, you know, a great treasure. That's verse 162 of Psalm 119. I rejoice at thy word, you know, as one that findeth great spoil. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. These are the kinds of desires and prayers that we need to pray and the posture that we need to have in the day of his power. Thy words were found. These people wanted the word of God so bad, you know, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me like the joy and rejoicing of my heart, you know, like the man that found great spoil, you know, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts, you know, now, you know, so this is the joy that we must look for in the day of his power. The joy will come from his word. When his word is revealed to us, we rejoice at it. Jesus said to the Jews, he said, look, he that is of God heareth my words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You know, and he told them. Psalm 130, verse 5. I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Hallelujah. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And those that watch for the morning, they're looking for the daybreak. They're looking for the daybreak. They're waiting for it. They're excited. Have you ever seen when you promise the little kids, maybe your little children, your little grandchildren, and you're going on taking them to their favorite place in the morning, you know, and they won't sleep all night, you know, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? You know, is it time to go yet? You know, they won't sleep. They won't even let you sleep because they're looking, waiting. You say, no, it's in the morning. Then they go and look again. Is it time? It's morning, isn't it? But they are watching for that daybreak because you said, told them you're going, you know, and this is how they, you know, they would just look forward to something. And this is how we must be, you know, this is a message of consecration this morning. You know, how that we need to make ourselves available and seek after the Lord, even in the day of his power. Praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 64 says, hear my voice, O God. Hear my prayer. Preserve my life. Hallelujah. And he said, look, you know, hide me in the secret counsel. Hide me, rather, from the secret counsel of the wicked and all of these things. You know, and he says, look, says, I want, you know, for you to hide me. Hide me from the secret. Hide me. Praise the Lord. You know, from the secret counsel of the wicked. You know, hear my voice, oh God, in my prayer. You know, we need to pray that the Lord will hear us. Now, let's read Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 6, chapter 64. Let's read that as well. Verse 1. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens. Makasheta Lubasari. That thou wouldest come down. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. Make thy name to be known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Remember, his name, it's his reputation. You know, he said, look, when you did those terrible things, even when we were not even looking for them, you did those things. You came down, mountains flowed at your presence. You know, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have they seen with the eyes and so forth. For God has prepared for him that waited for him. Well, this is the same scripture that Paul quoted. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and so forth. You know, but God had revealed these things to us. Now this man is praying. He said, look, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and thou wouldest come down. Let the mountains flow down at thy presence. These are people that are looking for something from God. You know, I want the fire. I want the power of his fire and so on. Well, when we're talking about mountains flowing and so on and so forth and things happening, well, here's what we must also be considering when God is doing all of that. Drop down, ye heavens. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. You know, this is the reason why God will do it. And this is the prayer that we must pray. We must look for revival. We must look for salvation, you know, to people around us. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. You know, like he said, let the mountains flow together. You know, let the earth open up and let them bring forth salvation. You know, and even the, you know, everything that God has created, let it work together for the salvation of the nations and the peoples around us. And let righteousness spring up together. For I, the Lord, have created it. These are the things that happen, you know, during revival. God begins to save people. Things begin to happen. You know, God begins to, you know, cause a hunger and a thirsting. And then people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Salvation happening. Things breaking out. So the things we need to see around us. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, our hearts in the day of God's visitation must be yearning and seeking for these things. You know, so it's not just about God blessing my business, blessing me on my job, and etc. Those are temporary things. You know, we need God to satisfy our longing soul with spiritual things. Psalm 107 verse 9, for he satisfied the longing soul and he filled the hungry soul with goodness. Well, the goodness of the Lord in spiritual things. It's more than just, you know, physical things. You know, we need to seek the Lord and hunger after him and thirst after him. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 1, you know, tells us, you know, there is a time that God, you know, it is time, he said, look, and during that time, well, what must you do? Well, he said, look, everyone that thirsted, Isaiah 55, verse 1, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy anyway. Buy milk and honey and wine and so forth without money and without price. And verse 6 says, look, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, during that time of visitation, better seek the Lord. You know, get a hold of him. Pass me not by, O gentle Savior. You know, during the time that he's visiting, get a hold of him. You know, right now, he's doing it. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Well, does that mean that there may be times when he's not near? Well, in seasons that God appoints, take advantage of it. You know, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, let him return unto the Lord, you know, and let him, you know, begin to call upon the Lord for mercy. And God will have mercy upon him. He will abundantly pardon and so on. God said, well, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, I have greater things and so forth. Now, it is when it is time for us to seek the Lord, you know, especially when the Lord says it is time. One thing the Lord said for this year is that we will experience a quantum leap. You know, then we need to begin to pray towards it. It's not just material things only. You know, most people, when they hear promises of emerge and material, you know, they only think of material things. When you have promises of quantum leap, we only think of material things. But look, you know, it's more than that. And we have to understand the timings of God. Whenever God says that the time of the promise is drawing near, he starts to orchestrate things, begin to put in the hearts of the people, you know, some things to make our situation, you know, sometimes more difficult so that we cry out to the Lord more. Or, you know, God begin to put in our heart to pray for more things. In the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 17, as Stephen was preaching this wonderful sermon, he said, look, when the time of the promise drew near, well, there's a time appointed to everything. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, you know, I mean chapter 3 will tell you that. First 8 verses. It's a time for everything. You know, so, you know, when the time of the promise drew near, we are told in Acts chapter 7 verse 17, then God began to do certain things or cause certain things to be done. Because the time of the promise is drawing near. And once we understand that the time of the promise is drawing near, then we better get a hold of the Lord. You know, the Lord says in Jeremiah 29 and 13, you know, the time that you're going to find me is when you seek me with all your heart. You know, and we must understand what we need to do. Again, I say to you that the children of Isaac had understanding of the times, and they knew that, look, this understanding made them to know what Israel ought to do. And we also, when we have understanding of the times, that we are living in unprecedented times, and God has promised us tremendous revival, then we need to understand what we need to do. We need to make ourselves available and willing and say yes. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, I will pour. This is almost the same thing that, you know, Joel said. But this one is talking about in those who are thirsty and yearning for it, you know. And he said, you know, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Well, this is the time for us to begin to believe that for our children and so forth. Now pour my blessing upon thy offspring. They shall spring up as among the grass and willows among the water courses and things like that. We need to start believing the Lord. And the Lord put a challenge out to the children of Israel. He said, look, come and be unto me a kingdom of priests. Offered it to them. But they could not bear that word at the time. You know, and many of them, you know, remove themselves far away from the Lord. Instead of drawing to the Lord, they removed. Well, we need to draw to the Lord. We need to hear his word. There was a man called Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord visited him. And this man was not satisfied with the status quo. You know, and the angel of the Lord, when he visited him, you know, he even said to him, he said, you know, thou mighty man of valor, he called him. And the man said, mighty man of valor? Well, you said the Lord is with us? Well, why then are everything in shambles? Why do we have to hide from the Midianites and so forth? You know, and where are all those miracles which we have heard before? He was not satisfied with his status quo. He said, look, if the Lord truly be with us, you know, then do again those things that we heard you do before. Hallelujah. Let's see the power of God move again. I mean, he began to, you know, challenge the status quo. Now, we must challenge the status quo. Did the Lord say that in this year we will have experience a quantum leap? Did he say that beginning from last year we will emerge? Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's begin to believe God for these things. Not just material things only, spiritual things. You know, the things, spiritual things, revival, returning to our first love, you know, the fire on the altar, you know, bringing wood in the morning, cranking things up, being ignited again. Hallelujah. Now, this is what we must do in the day of his power. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord looked at this Gideon man. He said, wow, I like what I hear. I like what I see. He liked that fire in him. So while you go in this time, right, Lord can use that. You know, when we have that hunger and that thirst and that fire in us, the Lord can use that. The angel of the Lord told him, he said, Lord can use that, you know. And the Lord did use that. And God began to set him out to be a deliverer. Hallelujah, to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. Praise the Lord. You know, so let's read Hosea chapter 6. We're going to pray in this room today. In Hosea chapter 6, this is what the Lord is saying to us. At a time such as this, come and let us return unto the Lord. Now, for he hath turned and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Now, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. We shall live in his sight. It almost seems like prophetic. You know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. You know, all these, 2,000 years have passed. You know, we're at the end of it. Well, it needs to be a revival now. And we're going to spend the third day in the millennium. 1,000 years, a day with the Lord. For we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord, his goings forth is prepared as the morning. Shall come unto us as the rain. It's a ladder and former rain unto the earth. So when the Lord is saying, look, I will give you rain in the time of the former and latter rain. I'll bring it together. All those promises that God put out in the book of Joel. Well, you know, the time of the promise is drawing near. What do we need to begin to do now? Make ourselves willing in the day of his power. That's all God is looking for. God needs a vessel like Isaiah that will say, yes, here am I, Lord, send me. That's all he needs. Most of the time, people always say no. You know, God came to Jeremiah. He said, no, I'm a little child. I can't do it. God sent Jonah. He ran away, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, every time God got a hold of these people, God came to Moses. I mean, this was the same Moses that was fighting for social injustice. And then later on, you know, he didn't even want to do it. Lord sent him to go back there. He gave all kinds of excuses. He didn't want to do it. But God just needs someone to say yes. Praise the Lord. If you can only say yes, and even if your yes is halfway, do the same as this man in Mark 9:24. Lord, I say yes. Help my no. Every time my mind says no, help thou me, O Lord. That's what the man said. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So Lord, you know, I am willing, help my unwillingness. Lord, I want to say yes. Help me in the times when I feel like saying no. That's a prayer that we are going to pray this morning. To make ourselves willing in the day of God's power. The day of God's power is coming. You know, Jesus used to say things like, you know, the hour is coming and now is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the day of God's power is coming. And we are so close. And one day the Lord will release me to preach it. You know, I've been trying, but he's holding me back. When we get to do it, you know, I called it at one time transform and transfigure. That will be the day of his power. We're so close to it. And he's preparing our hearts. You know, preparing our hearts. And when you hear me begin to preach that, it's like Jesus said, look, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, and when you see these things, when you hear this, when you see in another place, another prophecy in Daniel say, look, when you see, you know, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place and so forth. Well, when you hear me begin to preach that transform and transfigure series, then know that it is at the door, at the very door. And the Lord, all these things that we are doing is to prepare our hearts for this. You know, that's why Jesus, he used to prepare the people. Lo, I have told you in advance. And even God used to prepare the people. He would tell them things, you know, say, tomorrow, you know, I will do this thing among you. Well, why didn't he do it today already? Because, you know, he always likes to give people time to prepare their hearts in expectation. You know, we say, sanctify yourselves because tomorrow the Lord will come among you And then he would say, look, believe ye the Lord, and tomorrow go down and meet them. You know, and so forth. He always talks about tomorrow, because he gives you time today to worship. Isn't that what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles 20? When he heard the word of the Lord, that don't be afraid of this great multitude that's come against you, that three times your own strength in armies, your numbers. But don't worry about them, the prophet said. But he said, tomorrow, go down against them, for the Lord will fight for you, and you shall not even need to fight in this battle. Well, that was, the word was for tomorrow. But it's not yet tomorrow, it's today. So what do you do today when you hear the promise for tomorrow? Well, what you do is, you know, in the day of God's power, you do exactly what Jehoshaphat did. When he heard the promise for tomorrow, that the Lord is going to do this great thing in your midst tomorrow, and he's going to rid you of your enemies, and he's going to fight for you, and so on and so forth. You know, well, today, he began to worship. Let's see, we're reading, talking about worship yesterday. Here's what the Lord said. Let's read it. Now, you know, there were three armies, you know, that came up against them. You know, there was Moab, you know, Ammon, Mount Ammon, and Mount Seir, and so forth. The children of Ammon, children of Mount Seir, and Moab that came up against them. Now, verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 20. Now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, they came up, you know, and so forth. And they surrounded Israel, and they came up against them. So, now, verse 14. And upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, hear ye the word of the Lord, he said. Now thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. I love this one. Tomorrow, he said, not today, tomorrow you go down against them. And behold, they come up from the cliff and so forth. You're going to tell them. You're going to give them strategy and so on. You shall not need to fight in this battle. You set yourselves and stand ye still, for the salvation of the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. And he told them. Now, that's tomorrow. And God gave them space to think about it. Now that they know that the time of God's deliverance is at hand, what should you do now? Well, what did Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat, when he heard that, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. Well, and when the king is leading, others follow suit. Hallelujah. May God give us leaders that will worship the Lord. And then they, you know, all the people, you know, follow suit. So they bow down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's what you do when you hear his promise. You spend the time right now in worship and preparing your hearts. And then on the morrow, they rode up and went forth like the Lord said. But they spent today worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. So, as the time of promise is drawing near for us, let's spend the time today in prayer. And in preparing our hearts to make ourselves willing. You know, that's the thing. That's the problem. You know, we're not willing. You know, we don't want, you know, we don't want to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, somewhere in our spirit, the spirit is actually willing, you know, but the flesh is weak, you know, so, but the Lord, if we can be willing, you know, if we can be willing and obedient, he said, ye shall eat the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. Now, let us make ourselves willing and also obedient. If we are willing, we must also be obedient. And if we say yes, then the Lord will help us to be able to overcome the times when our mind might say no. So that's going to be our prayer this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Ha! But if you refuse and rebel against the Lord, then ye shall be devoured with his sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, that's not our portion. Our portion is to be willing and to be obedient. So let us pray. We're going to go into prayers right now. You know, so today is about us praying and tendering our hearts before the Lord and saying, Lord, I understand now that we are in the season. We're in the times of refreshing. And what must I do in the day of that power of God? I want to make my heart willing. I want to make my heart available to the Lord. And areas where I am unwilling, let the Lord search those things out as well. Reveal this to me. And the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. And he says, search me, Lord, for thou knowest me. And see if there be any unwillingness in me. That's right. You know, let us search. I mean, let's have the Lord, you know, search our hearts. And we ourselves make ourselves, you know, and so forth, you know, to be ready. Glory to God. Now, the scripture has already said, you know, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Jesus said, watch ye and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But most of the time, our flesh is superior to our spirit. That's the problem. You know, instead of the spirit being superior, the flesh is superior. We're driven by the flesh most of the time instead of being driven by the spirit. The flesh is on the outside and the spirit is such a this little thing on the inside. And that's the reverse of what it was from the beginning. The man was a spirit man in the beginning, you know, and when we fell, all of that was reversed. But we must come back into the realm where we are operating in the spirit and not in the flesh. If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I'm going to leave it here and then we're going to go into prayers. The prayer that we are going to pray this morning, you heard the exhortation that speaks unto you as to sons today that look, be willing when the day that God is tugging on your heart, you know, that's all he's looking for. Are you going to say yes? Well, I want to say yes, Lord, this morning. You know, will you say yes to the Lord? Hallelujah. So let's take prayer. I will pray over the room first. Then I'm going to turn it over for corporate prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we've heard your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you make us willing in the day of your power, which is now. Because we've heard the rumblings in the spirit. We've seen things around us. We know, you know, we've seen the troubles in the world, but we also know that during these times, it will send times of refreshing. And we know it is time, a time of refreshing. Now, Lord, let us not be like the mule, you know, that doesn't understand anything. You got to jerk him around. Father, Lord, we see, according to the scriptures, you know, the birds of the air, the turtle and all these things, even the animals, they know their times. They understand the seasons. Lord, let us make us to be truly understanding, like the sons of Issachar, understood the times and knew what they had to do. Father, Lord, with this understanding that we're in the times of refreshing, cause our hearts, Lord, to be willing before you in the name of Jesus. Now, it is the Lord that makes us both to will and to perform. Now, therefore, O Lord, I and my people, we are willing. But yet we have a lot of unwillingness in us. Therefore, Lord, help us, O Lord. As the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We also say, Lord, this morning, we are willing, help our unwillingness in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we will be truly willing to surrender it all to the Lord. Glory to God. Nothing held back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Withholding nothing. Hallelujah. And surrender all before the Lord. Now I say, yes, Lord. Help me truly. And wherever my heart, my mind, even my body says no, let my spirit always say yes. And let that triumph in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.